What do you think you're doing?
You tell me! Who's behind this? Who did this to me? Why?
What do you mean, why?
Who is responsible for this?
How bloody can you be? It wasn't you. It wasn't personal. It could have been any asshole with a couple hundred million in the bank.
Get on that radio, all right? You get your boss up here. You tell him I'm gonna shoot somebody.
Oh, my God. Call Nicholas. They won't do it.
Yes, they will. You get somebody up here, because I'm gonna kill you.
Don't care about me, Nicholas. They'll let me die. You're not in a position to threaten anyone. Wait a minute. Where'd you get that?
What?
That gun. That's not an automatic.
The fuck are you talking about?
What? Guard had an automatic. Where'd you get the gun?
This is my gun.
We searched the house.
Well, I guess you missed this, didn't you?
Situation up here. We got a real goddamn gun up.
What are you doing?
Nicholas, it's fake. It's part of your game.
Don't you start with me
now! No, listen to me!
Don't you fucking start with me!
I'm telling you the truth now! This is all the game!
Bullshit, all right? Bullshit! I don't have that guy. They shot that guy fine gold fish and then they killed him!
Think about it, what'd you see?
I saw them kill him!
No, what did you really, really see this whole time? Special effects, squibs, squibs, like in the movies. Nicholas? Nicholas, listen! You have to tell me you got a real gun with real goddamn bullets up here! Okay, I'll put it down! Mr. Fisher, he's on the other side of that door. He's an actor.
You're trying to kill me.
No, I'm trying to kill you, Nicholas. Please put that gun down. You're about to make the biggest mistake of your life. Nicholas, there was always a safety net. The taxi, there was a diver in my house. They just shot at us with blanks.
That's not true.
It is. It's what you hired us for. They're waiting on the other side of that door with champagne. Nicholas. Please, goddamn it, Conrad. Conrad's there. It's your birthday party.
You stop lying.
Let me show you.
Don't you move.
Hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. I'm Andrew.
And this is not Damon.
And that was Douglas. We're here again, and Damien is missing. There was a mention of GT5 being out, but I can't be sure if that's exactly what the excuse is at this point.
Listen, he knew ahead of time he wasn't coming. You know why? Because he already got his game. I'm certain of it. We will not see him for the following, for the next,
probably
what,
not
3 months?
In the top 10 episode next year or something. I don't know.
Anyways, if that.
Anyways, this week, like, honestly, this episode has been like 3 months in the making, because I've been trying to get this guy on the podcast forever, and he just keeps ducking and diving. I think the truth of it is he listened to the podcast before, and he decided that we were just a bunch of bums, and he I finally got him to fold and come on the podcast, and it's the Hatter from The Dark of the Matinee, which you can find at mcneilmatinee.blogspot.com. It's a wonderful blog of this guy from Toronto, Canada. How are you doing tonight, Hatter?
I am very well, and I also want to remind you, when I asked you to be on my show, my favorite response was, okay, but not during June, because the World Cup's on. Discounted a whole month.
Hey, it's the World Cup. I understand that. That's reason enough.
First of all, on top of the fact that it's football we're talking about, that happens once every 4 years.
luckily there's no hockey tournament on, right?
I assume so. If you had told me the Hockey World Cup was on and you couldn't talk to me, then I would have to understand at that point.
That's right. There we go. So I'm very happy to be here. I hope I'll make it worth the wait.
I have to say, though, I don't think I've ever actually watched hockey. It doesn't look that appealing to me.
I watched a half a game once. It was kind of cool.
You gotta go, because it's really fast and it's really violent. You gotta remember, the whole thing is happening on ice. As if they're not crazy enough, you know, they're basically just propelling themselves on blades.
Well, I live in Jamaica, so ice isn't really that abundant. Ice rinks, not really.
Yeah.
Maybe when I come to Toronto for TIFF next year.
Yeah, I heard rumors of that. I'll hold my breath.
I'll buy you a beer when I get there, okay?
Very nice. It's good stuff, too. You'll like it.
Anyways, let's get on with what we're talking about today, and as usual...
Wait, I'd like to say something.
What would you like to say?
Have you figured out how to spell Jersey?
That's bear number two. Okay, let's go.
Bear number two. That's how long we've been talking off-air, people. He's at bear number two already, even though I have a much, like, larger canister.
I have, like, half a bottle.
You're drinking with us too, Hatter?
Yeah, no tea tonight. I'm going with the beer.
Good stuff. Right. What beer are you drinking? What beer is your choice tonight?
I'm drinking, it's called Alexander Keith's India Pale Ale. Pale it's ale. It's Canadian. It's good stuff.
Yeah, pale ale is not bad.
Well,
I usually prefer something darker. I go for a Guinness usually if I'm at the bar.
Oh,
but
Guinness is nice. I like Guinness. You know what I like, though, in the dark stuff is Yingling. The dark Yingling brews. I like those.
I had that. That's more an American thing, though. That's too light, man.
That's true. It is American, but I've never been up to the frozen.
You know,
north,
no offense to my American brethren, but I'm Canadian. I like alcohol in my beer.
Nice.
Yes.
We like it when people are pretentious.
It's like moonshine here. It's great.
Anyways, like always, we talk about what we've been watching. So, Hatter, what have you been up to this week? What have you been watching?
Well, I was under the weather on Monday. I stayed home sick from the office. And with the whole day, I decided to watch Ben-Hur.
It took you that long?
It's like 3.5 hours, right? It's a two-disc movie. You should see the DVD. It could stop a bullet. It's that thick. And, I'd seen it before. It was one of my... one of the first classics I ever saw. I think I was 11 or 12. And I love this movie, man. They do not make movies like this anymore. You know, it's melodramatic and it's a little bit overly religious at times. You got to love it when Jesus is giving you a drink of water. I wish, you know, well, I was hanging out and Jesus gave me a drink of water. Love that movie. And, you know, have you guys seen it?
I'm sure Andrew hasn't seen it.
Totally have not seen it. And that's Douglas deflecting deflecting the fact that he hasn't seen it either.
it's not like basically this guy, he's kind of a Roman, he's a Jewish man in during the time of Rome, and he gets falsely accused and basically he becomes a slave. So they send him out, and the whole thing is backdropped by the life of Jesus. So Jesus kind of comes in and out, but you never actually see Jesus. You only see sandals or like his back or something like that, right? But he's always around. He's like, he's like Wilson on Home Improvement.
Whoa,
no, I'm not kidding. So yeah, I know.
Jesus to Wilson. But so on the guy,
Wilson was kind of a nice guy.
Yes,
though,
I just compared our Savior to Wilson on Home Improvement. write your letters now, madhatter.21@hotmail.com. But the cool thing, so the guy gets taken as a slave. He gets put on this slave ship that actually gets attacked, and he manages to not only escape, but he saves the Roman general while he's at it, and he basically wins his freedom. So he's kind of going through his life. He's looking to get back to his home and to his family. But while he's going through, he becomes known for being a great chariot racer, and it all builds up to this amazing chariot race that they filmed. And it's this movie's so long, there's an intermission. That's how long this movie is.
I've seen some of those films.
Yeah, like the
so they come back, there's the chariot race. This chariot race, there's 15,000 extras in this chariot race. They do not do that anymore. And the set takes up 18 acres of land.
That's
crazy. I know. This one scene, it took them 5 weeks to film this one scene, and it's epic. If you've never seen this, check this movie out. At the very least, watch this chariot race scene.
I guess the question I have to ask you right now, Hatter, is will I like it more than Citizen Kane?
I don't understand what all the hate is for Citizen Kane all over the blogosphere, man. But I don't know. As they Citizen Kane is a little bit more accessible. Ben-Hur is long. It's melodramatic. It's got this whole great big religious undercurrent. I'd say somebody has a better shot at Citizen Kane than they do at this.
Wait, sorry. Hold on. So are you saying that if you were to compare Citizen Kane, a long and unfulfilling search for
Rosebud,
to Ben-Hur, you'd say Ben-Hur was long and melodramatic. Wow.
Yeah, you have no idea, man. Got to remember, at least in Citizen Kane, you don't have Jesus wafting in and out of the scenes.
Okay, anything else that you've been watching?
So I watched Ben-Hur. Yesterday, I finally got to watch The Kids Are All Right, I know you guys talked about on your last show.
Yeah.
And I liked it. I didn't get to see it in theaters. I liked it a lot.
Okay.
I didn't know if you were going to say something there. I'm sorry. I like that one a lot. What else did I watch this week? Just tonight I was watching I'm trying to now get in the festive mood, so I was watching Elf tonight.
Okay, Elf. Andrew doesn't like that movie.
Not at all.
I didn't like it at the time, but now I look back and I realize Zooey Deschanel is in it, so I'm obliged.
That's right. You know what the funny thing is about Elf? I'll tell you this one quick story. We saw that in the theater, myself, Lady Hatter, and actually my friend who goes by the handle Cheshire Cat. We went, the three of us, to see it together. And there's a moment in the movie where Andy Richter, who plays a writer, he's trying to come up with an idea for a children's story. And he says, what if we write a story about a tribe of lonely asparagus that are self-conscious because their pee smells funny? Now, this struck me at the time as hilarious. This struck only me as hilarious, and we're sitting in the back corner of a packed movie theater. I swear, guys, I'm pretty damn sure I almost got left there. They're both burying themselves in their seats, heads down, wanting nothing to do with me, and if they could have walked out, they would have right there and then.
Well, you know what, though? I have to tell you, at least that happened to you during a comedy. I've had that happen to me in the worst movies ever. I think that happened to me once, and nobody will ever let me live it down. I was watching the Hannibal Lecter movie with Ed Norton in it. Was it The Last Dragon?
Right, you were laughing at Red Dragon?
Yeah, Red Dragon. I know, exactly. There's a point close to the end where I think somebody gets shot, and it was funny to me.
So you're saying the movie came out with what you say?
Oh man! No, I've got a strange sense of humor. So there's been a few comedies over the years where there's a dumb joke that strikes only me as hilarious, and when I laugh loud, so you can hear me. And it's usually, as I say, when we're sitting in the back and the theater's full, and I. One of these days, I'm going to get left. I guarantee you. So, yeah, Ben-Hur, Elf, Kids Are All Right. Those are the main ones I've been watching this week.
Okay, Douglas, what did you been up to?
Oops. Okay, let me pull out the list. It's not a very long list, but it is a list nonetheless. There's a TV show I've been watching lately, really mostly due to Andrew's insistence. His I don't know. He has been touting this show for years, and finally I've gotten into it. Firefly. I really should have talked about it last week, but
is Jesus in that?
Well, a little bit. Yeah, they're in space. They must find him somewhere.
I'm sure Fillion could pass as Jesus.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But yeah. For those of you guys who don't know, Firefly was a TV show done by Joss Whedon, or created by Joss Whedon, starring Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk and a bunch of other guys, Summer Glau as well. And it's about this crew who are in the middle of space. It's futuristic. They've got their own spaceship. They do random jobs and get illegal money, and stuff happens.
It's Cowboy Bebop in live action.
Essentially. Except Cowboy Bebop is awesome, and this show is just... It's okay. It's alright so far. I have to say, I really despise that opening sequence. It's horrible.
Like the credits, you mean?
Yeah, the credits and that song. And I don't know what it is. Usually, I don't have that strong a feeling about that kind of thing. But it's just something about the song and it being so slow, along with the weird, cheesy, just like visuals that you get with the weird writing.
I have to say, I'm with you on that one. I'm not a huge fan of that opening credits for that show.
Maybe that's why it got canceled.
Yeah, probably. I mean, really and truly. Why am I watching a show that got canceled?
When you decided to talk about it, the first thing that popped into my head is this one joke from The Big Bang Theory, where they go back in time to when Sheldon, just not Sheldon, I mean...
Oh, the show, not them. Okay.
Yeah, the show.
I thought you were saying that they, that clearly I missed an episode and they created a time machine and...
No. They went back in the timeline and... Leonard? It was when Leonard just moved in to the apartment or something like that, and they were doing the whole roommate agreement thing, and Sheldon was like, alright, so I can't remember what day of the week. Thursday night at 8 p.m. is Firefly night. And Leonard is asking him, like, why are we putting in that agreement? Like, it's TV, we'll just watch it. We don't have to write it in a contract. And Sheldon looks at him and says, well, it's awesome television, it'll be on for years. It's better we just put it down now. You know? I just remember that and laugh at it. Giggle it.
12 episodes.
But what do you think of the actual show, though? Like, good, bad, ugly?
Me, I think it's alright. It shows potential, but it just... I've gone a ways into it. I think I'm maybe 7 episodes in, and still there... It feels like it's still a bunch of setup. Because even though they're having their adventures... they still haven't really fully explored what's going on with Summer Glau, and clearly she is some sort of force to be reckoned with that they should be using in some way, but they're not. She's there maybe one scene per episode, if that much, and it's just like, I know that this show would probably be better if they showed me what she was, why she's so important, and made the crew decide that they need to protect her. I think that would have made a better show.
You haven't watched the movie yet, right?
No, I haven't, not yet.
Okay. But have you passed the episodes with Christina Hendricks in them?
Who's Christina Hendricks?
Who's Christina Hendricks?
The big-breasted girl from Mad Men.
Mad Men.
I was going to say, this show might be over in a hurry, man.
in Firefly,
Is she Joan?
She's not Joan. Okay. She is... I'm trying to remember, an assassin thief kind of girl who...
The one who
goes against Fillion.
The one who marries Fillion.
Yeah, she cons him into marrying him.
Yeah.
She's a con artist.
I've seen that show, so I can't remember exactly if she was the one that he married.
Yeah. I've seen that episode.
She comes back.
Oh, she does. I haven't seen her come back yet.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, she's got one more. I will see almost anything with her in it.
I didn't realize that was Joan. It doesn't... I guess it kind of looks like her now that I think about it. But yeah, okay.
Hmm. I didn't recognize her at first either, but then I wasn't really watching Mad Men at that point.
Right.
There you go.
Uh-huh. I've still got 2 things on my list.
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I also watched Easy A this week. And I have to say, it's okay. It's alright. I have noticed that I enjoy Emma Stone in the movies that I've seen her in, but that's about all that this movie has going for it. Her and not much else. And even then, I don't know. The narration was a little bit... eh.
I actually like the reveal for the narration as to what she was doing at that point. Like, when it came to the end. I like that.
Yeah, well,
you know why I like that movie, actually, guys?
What is that?
I could watch that movie again and again for Stanley Tucci and Patricia Clarkson.
Yes, I will give you that.
If I could have them as my parents, I love my parents, but if I could trade them for Stanley Tucci and Patricia Clarkson, I would do it in a hurry, man. I love it when they're sitting there and they're going through all the Netflix movies and they decide on Bucket List. And he goes, okay, so now we got to remember to watch the Bucket List off our bucket list.
Stanley Tucci and Patricia Clarkson were awesome in that movie.
Yes, they were. They were. But the movie on a whole, it just was... I mean, yes, I watched when she was narrating and she gave each... I can't call them act, but each section of the movie a witty little name,
it, yeah.
Right? But that, I guess... like, for the first time, I could see myself liking it, or I did like it the first time, but I see myself, if I watch it again, being like, okay, really? This is, you know, you're just trying too hard.
I think they were trying too hard to make a John Hughes movie.
Yeah.
And it just didn't hit that mark.
But
like, they were just so self-referential with it.
Yeah. All that said, though, I'm not saying this is a bad movie. It's not. It's an okay movie. If somebody forced me, I might watch it again.
You just want to see the scene where she's singing with the card, don't you? Singing with the birthday with the card? That goes, I'm a fan for the sunshine. I love that scene.
No, not really.
So what else is on your list, sir?
One more thing. And
tiny little movie.
A tiny little movie. An indie film. Harry Potter?
Harry Potter. Which
yes.
one?
The seventh one.
The seventh one with Jesus in it.
Yes, it does have Jesus in it. And his name is Reese Ifans. I love him to death. But guess what? That was about all that I loved in that movie. Yes.
You didn't like it, eh?
Not really. I'm a big fan of the book. I'm a big fan of most of the movies. But this movie, I felt it was so long. And so drawn out. And I wonder, I humbly ask the filmmakers why they decided that they needed to make it into two films. Yes, you were able to make this movie 4 hours long, but did it need to be 4 hours long? Could you have possibly done 4 hours and done the whole movie? Because it's weird. At the end, I'm just like, okay, the movie was long. The movie was drawn out. The movie was... It dragged quite a bit. And I didn't really feel like I achieved anything. Or anybody in the movie achieved anything. Or I was successfully entertained.
Well, I saw this movie as well. And I have to say that you're almost wrong. Like, I actually kind of enjoyed the film. There were so many scenes which... by themselves work so well.
Oh,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And the visuals, the action,
listen, Andrew,
everything.
Andrew, I'm pulling out the list here, okay?
We have it on the wall.
Yes.
Remember, we have it on the wall. But you see, the thing for me is that I'm tentative on whether I want to call it good or bad because this is just a setup.
No, but guess what? That's why you know it's bad, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
This is a movie. It is not... a first episode, and even then first episodes would be bad as episodes, but you'd watch the rest of the show. This is a movie and you have to judge it by itself without anything else. Just because it's a part of some sort of heptology, I don't know how you would say it if there are eight of them, or octology, whatever, I don't
octology.
Know. Just because it's a part of a larger whole does not make it immune, does not mean that you should not make me want to watch just this movie. Right?
And you know what, dude? I totally agree with you. Totally, totally agree with you. I got a lot of flack this week because I was saying something very, very similar, saying, you know what, you've just given me this, saying you can't fit everything into one movie, you got to give me two movies. Okay, that's fine. Give me two movies. I've read this book. I know it's dense. Give me two movies. It doesn't mean that you get a bye with the first movie and get to completely ignore the laws of structure. You still have to build up to some sort of climax. And I'm okay taking the long road to get there, but you better make it worth my while when we get there. And that was the thing. The last payoff of this movie, it made the end of Phantom Menace look epic. You know, wow. I was waiting for Darth Maul to come out and kick some Dobby ass. That was my take, and a lot of people disagreed with me, man.
Yeah, no, I have looked on the interwebs and people love this movie, and I don't quite understand why. I mean, I can understand that maybe if I watch it again, I'll appreciate it more. But I still don't see myself actually really liking this movie.
Is it the thing for me?
No, I will. The only time I will like this movie is when I finally get to see this movie with part two on a Sunday, and I can watch them all in like 1 5-hour go.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you.
You see, that's the thing. Like, I get exactly what you guys are saying, and I'm not gonna say that you guys are wrong in your opinions, but I do agree. I think it would have been so much better if I had the 5-hour movie. I have no problem with sitting through long ass movies. I know they can't do that theatrically. Like, that's...
I don't know. Do like Ben-Hur. Give us an intermission.
Dude, people complained with Lord of the Rings 3 where they had 10 different endings. And I still don't call it 10 different endings. I think of it as one awesome ending. But I get what they're saying, and I see their complaints. And I know their films...
Oh, you would hate the book.
And I know there
the
are...
book has, like, an extra
the book
ending.
Has, like,
just
10
to
more.
Let you know.
And I know there are films that I love, which I look past all of these technical problems, like the length. Because I go, like, I don't care how long you have me in the couch, in the seat, on the plane, as long as I'm enjoying it. And
I agree.
And I'm with that. But I know for a general population and a general audience, people aren't going to buy into that. They're gonna hear, shit, the movie's 6 hours long, and just not go. They're going to be like, I can't do that. So they have to break it up like this. Just like Kill Bill 1 and 2, even though that actually dealt with the separation of the stories a lot better. But at the same time, I still enjoyed this film for one reason and one reason only. Besides the list, of course. and that is that it took me into the character of Hermione a bit more than the rest of the movies. In the rest of the movies... we look at all of these characters as wizards and witches. For the first time, they dealt with Hermione as a human, as a person, as a muggle, as the movie would like to put it. And
it dealt with her side boob, is what it dealt with.
Thank you very much, sir. That it did.
Because even though the movie opens with that shot of her, should I say that
her side boob? What version did you get?
Well, we got the version that was she dropped her hands a little bit before the mist.
Oh my goodness!
We let's just say that they're.
I'm gonna book my passport. I'm gonna start watching movies down there.
Dude, you don't want to do that. yeah, I like the movie. I'm gonna stop there. So anything else, Douglas?
Not that I've watched. I mean, I've been watching things, you know. The League is awesome.
All right, you can
Misfits.
Stop.
Oh,
you can stop.
I don't think I've talked about Misfits, have
you
I?
You talked about it when it started back.
Oh, okay, alright, fine. 3 episodes in, no. I love it still. I haven't watched tonight's episode, but I will soon, don't worry.
Okay, this week, I started watching from the beginning. I had seen random episodes of this show, and I'm realizing going through season 1 that I probably have seen all of season 1, but I'm still enjoying it a ton. Futurama. This is one of those shows that I just watch randomly on TV. But I just said, you know what, let me go get rent those DVDs and go through them. And I'm so enjoying this first season. I'm almost done with season 1. It's only 9 episodes.
Have you seen the special features?
No, I haven't gotten there yet.
You haven't gotten there yet?
I haven't gotten there yet.
Man, those are awesome. You should check those out. I think next week you should give me a full report.
I will. Okay. I will. Also, in TV related stuff, Human Target is back, and I love that show. Even though I'm kind of pissed at how they changed the song for the opening credits, you know, opening credit annoyances. I really loved it in the first season, but they changed it to this weird guitar-y thing that's...
It's better, not perfect yet.
Anyways, film related stuff. I saw Flipped, the new Rob Reiner film about the young teen, pre-teenage, I don't even think they're teenagers, romance. And it feels like it's set in the 60s, even though I don't think it ever admits to a year. It's really good. Like, it looked like it was going to be really cliche, and just like a lot of films I saw when I was younger, like My Girl. But it does this multiple perspective thing, which makes it really interesting. Because, you know, in all these kinds of films, and I'm sure you expect this from you saw the trailer, that it decides on a side to take, whether you're the dude or you're the girl. And they are the narrators, and you see the scenes all from their perspective. In this film, however, what it does is it gives you a chapter of their story, and it tells you from the guy's perspective, and then it immediately jumps to telling you that chapter all over again from the girl's perspective. And you would think this would get repetitive,
So what you're saying is this is kind of like Go.
I haven't seen Go.
I love it.
What? No.
What?
You haven't seen Go?
I have seen Go.
Go is awesome, Andrew. Go is where I first developed my undying love for T.O. Okay? Timothy Oliphant.
I find it really funny saying it to someone who's in Toronto.
Yeah, I know. That means something else for you, doesn't it?
I was going to say, I wasn't filmed here. What are you talking about?
Let's stick to Mr. O.
Mr. O? Alright, Mr. O.
That's his official title.
Speaking of which, I haven't caught up fully with The Office, but the last two episodes I watched, Mr. O was in it. And that makes me happy.
I'm stopping with the British show. I'm not going into the American.
The American one is so good, Andrew. It is. I'm sorry. I mean, I haven't watched the early seasons because...
This season isn't doing it for me, though, man.
Oh, really?
I love the show. I really, really do. But this season's just been so flat.
I don't know. I've enjoyed... I mean, it hasn't been as good as it once was and as it, I know it can be. But I've enjoyed the episodes that I've seen so far.
Okay. They have had a good episode or two, but it's been kind of a quiet letdown. Now, I'm still watching it because this is the season where they're going to write Michael Scott out, and I want to know how they're going to do that.
Yeah.
I say he gets a promotion.
Well, I didn't know, man. Two episodes ago, it looked like he was going to Mexico to do some Habitat for Humanity kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was sitting there, I'm like, is this how they're going to write him out? That's brilliant. And he does it on a whim, too. Like, he goes to a baptism, and he gets so moved, but Jesus wasn't in this. No, I'm not kidding.
Are you serious?
He goes to a christening, he gets so moved, Jesus isn't even in the show, and he joins the Christian church, the church that he goes to. He joins their group's Habitat to Humanity down in Mexico. He gets about 20 miles down the road and gets cold feet.
That is so Michael Scott. Yes.
Yeah, I hoped that was how they were going to write him out.
Wow. Yep, I'm not going past the British show. I don't know. I just can't put myself through it. I love the British show, and I've seen random episodes of the American show, and I'm not calling it bad. Like, I found random episodes and seen it as being funny. But I'm just like, the British is just so special and unique and awesome. And
you know what, Andrew? Just watch, say, season 3 or season 4. Don't start with season 1 because you'll get upset like I did. I got upset when I started watching the show because I was like, alright, fine, it's an American version. We'll see. I like this Dan in Real Life, man. We'll check this out. And I saw it and I got really upset because all the episodes in the early section were almost take for take the same episodes as the British. And so that annoyed me a lot. But then I got back into it, and it is well worth a watch.
Anyways, I was talking about Flipped.
Flipped Office, same thing.
Movie's good. Let's move on. I also saw the Joaquin Phoenix documentary, I'm Still Here.
How'd you like that?
Something tells me is that we share the same opinion of this film from the way you said that.
I don't know. You know what? I dug it.
Really?
Oh, well, okay, you gotta remember, I saw it back at the film festival when the question was still, is this real?
Well, I actually thought, like, as I was watching the film, that it was obvious it wasn't real. Even before, even if I hadn't seen, like, him come back on Letterman and talk about it not being real or whatever. It like, watching the film, it's obvious. Like... whenever you see films like this, the question you have to ask yourself is, why is the camera on?
Right. But here's the thing. If it is obvious, you got to remember, that whole year that bullshit was going on, he had a lot of us fooled, man.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. I was doubting it. I was on the fence as to whether it was real or fake.
Dedication to a stunt unlike anything I've seen. Like, there's times where I'm trying to pull a practical joke at the office, and I start snickering. I don't know how I could ever carry it on for a year.
Yeah, but look at what the dude did to himself, though. Like, I get how immense it is that he actually pulled this off. But look at what he did. Like, he spat in the face of Hollywood by refusing to promote Two Lovers, which I actually want to watch and still haven't seen, so that he could promote his fucked up character. It came out last year.
Shit. I'm going to watch it for this year. I really want to watch that movie.
And at this point, now that he's come out and said that it's fake and he's like, yes, I'm going to act again, no one is hiring for anything. And I don't know if there's some closed door shit going on that we don't know about. So we'll find out in a couple months that he's going to be in a film that's shooting
in
January.
I'm sure he's going to be in a movie.
I was going to say, he's got to have something lined up, man. Exactly. If Britney Spears is making music, he can certainly get another part. Exactly. You know the funny thing is about that movie, though? The thing that caught me off guard, even not even knowing if it was real or not, is that moment when they've got the interview where he announces his retirement. Yeah. Casey Affleck is looking square at the camera, and he's got the weirdest look on his face. You know, I'm like, okay, is he sitting there wondering, what the fuck is this guy saying? Is he sitting there wondering, get a load of this, I can't believe everybody's going to fall for this. That was the best moment of that movie.
Actually, you know, it was one of my favorite moments of that film. For the first hour, the whole point of the film is that he wants to do the rap career, and he wants to get this meeting with Diddy. And after around an hour, he gets the meeting with Diddy, and he's sitting down with Diddy. And Diddy's like, okay, put on your music, let me hear it. And he goes like, this track, and then the second track, and then the third track. And Diddy's like, alright, you can shut it off now, I don't need to hear anymore. And then Diddy like looks at him with a serious face on him and goes, is this for real? This is not a joke, is it, right? Like honestly, you really want to do this?
And that's what I'm saying. If Diddy was in on this, and I get every impression he is, I got more respect for Diddy, man, because that was some great acting.
And I mean, just the way he spoke to Joaquin at a point, he's like, you don't like do this, giving the hand gestures, the generic rap hand gestures, like when I'm not around, do you? Like, okay. And it's kind of funny at a point, but like overall, I did not like this film. It's I get what he was going for. But it just got too big. It got too big for the movie. It was completely narcissistic. It was just a pain to get through, especially when you get to the end and you're not sure what kind of a point he was trying to make.
I liked the social experiment. He's like one of these people who goes to a museum and lives behind the plexiglass for 16 hours of the day.
I think the social experiment bit would have been just as effective if there wasn't a film. If he had just done the exact same thing and there wasn't a movie. He had just come out like with a YouTube video going, haha, it was a joke. You know? Because, I mean, the whole point was to get us all obsessed over the idea that he's quitting to do this insane thing, which is obviously not real.
Now, you weren't bored, though, were you?
For around 80% of the film. There were a couple scenes. There were a couple scenes which were good. Like, the Diddy scene was really awesome. And I can't remember. What was that? And I told you, I watched this film like 2 days ago. And I'm already forgetting scenes to show you how impressive this movie was.
The scene after he finishes Letterman is pretty cool, too. He's, like, panicking in the park.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like, if he's acting, like, I bought that. But maybe that's just me. Maybe I, you know.
Always ask your question, why is the camera on? And that will tell you whether it's real or not.
Are you kidding? There's always a camera on these days. It's a camera on me right now.
Well, that's like a shitty camera. I believe that, though. Like, I'm sure that's your webcam on your...
My documentary will be coming out in 2 years.
Hmm?
This will be part of it. I'm going to work in a scene with Jesus, because everybody likes that.
And then when your movie comes out with your scene that has Jesus, you will...
I'll say it's all a hoax, and look at you people, you all fell for it.
Not even that. You'll be picketing your own film, and
yes.
because you're getting hate mail from the Christians.
Yes, I'd like to take this opportunity on the Unnamed Movie Podcast to announce my retiring from podcasting. I'm going to go into rap.
Okay, so when is the next episode?
No, you can't go into rap. Joaquin did that already. You're going to go into country.
Oh, okay, sure.
Well, and yeah, that's what I've been watching. So yeah, I guess we can move on, because I really don't want to think about that movie anymore.
Wasn't that bad?
It's actually what I wrote about for my next column at The Gleaner, and that will be out before this episode is released. So,
lots of things will be out before this episode is released.
Trailers this week. The trailer for this new Matthew McConaughey film came out, Lincoln Lawyer.
Trailer.
Hey, boss.
Pull over up here.
Counselor?
Eddie? We had a deal. Either pay me or go with a public defender.
Another $5,000?
$10,000.
Oh. Ain't you gonna count it?
Just did.
And I gotta ask you, Ryan, what do you think about this? What do you think about Matthew McConaughey sitting in the back of a car going objection for the entire film?
You know, I got a little page of paper in front of me where I just kind of scribbled some stuff that I wanted to bring up. Like I scribbled the 15,000 extras and I wrote Jesus like 10 times. And I got Lincoln Lawyer underlined, and then underneath it I just wrote no. Why do you hate me? Why did I have to watch that?
Yes,
give me some Green Lantern to talk about or something like that. I will not see that movie. That looks like the most boring piece of crap that I've seen 10 times before.
Well,
No.
Yeah.
I expect George Clooney to work his way into that somehow. And I like me the Clooney, but you know, I think they couldn't afford Clooney. So they went down to, you know, Mr. All Right, All Right.
I feel that he is most comfortable and therefore gives the best sort of, you know, the most charismatic performance that he can give when he is allowed to take his shirt off.
Which is why I think this movie is going to suck, because
exactly.
He's a lawyer
and he wears a suit. He doesn't
can't take his shirt off randomly in court.
I mean, the best he can do is unbutton his coat while he takes out his revolver. And that's about it. And I saw that scene in the trailer and it wasn't good. So, yeah, no, Andrew, I'm not watching this movie.
Like, I have to say, like, in the defense of Matthew McConaughey, I tend to like his films for some reason.
As do I, funny enough.
Like, I don't know what it is. Like, the way he presents himself. Like, I just go, like, I like that dude. Like, I don't know why, but the first thing I think about, though, is the Matt Damon impression.
Of course.
Which went with the I'm going to take my shirt off now thing, and I love that thing. But, oh, I like Matt McConaughey films, but this film looks atrocious. And when I think about lawyer films, like...
He has been in a good lawyer film, though.
Yes, I agree.
That was...
Yes, You Deserve to Die.
Yeah.
And A Home You Burn in Hell. Oh.
But for some reason, the idea of the lawyer in the back of the Lincoln and just driving around, I thought of Training Day. Like, just get in the office,
Training
you know?
Training Day.
So I'm thinking of Training Day for lawyers. And I'm like, I wonder if there's a Training Day for, like, the junior lawyers who just come in and Matthew McConaughey tricks him into taking drugs and all sorts of madness during his film.
I actually thought the movie would have something to do with Lincoln. That was the first thing. I was screwed up when I saw it. I was like, this isn't about Lincoln. What the hell? I was duped.
Hoodwinked. Bamboozled.
At least I didn't pay any money. You know, can you imagine if you paid for a ticket thinking it was about a lawyer like defending Lincoln or something?
You get in there and there's Matthew McConaughey and you're just like, oh shit, not one of these again.
By the time you realize Lincoln isn't coming, you look at your watch, the half hour's gone, you can't get your money back, you're screwed.
Actually, no, they can get his shirt off in this film. All they have to do is have him screw some girl, have a sexy.
Oh, yes.
No, he's a lawyer, he's not going to do that. But they might They might try to kill him. You know, they might plant a bomb in his car. And when the bomb goes off, he jumps out of the car just enough so he saves him his life, but not enough to save his shirt.
And I guess with that, we can move on to the next trailer, the more important trailer of the week. It's the new Duncan Jones film starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Vera Farmiga, and Michelle Monaghan. It's Source Code.
Welcome back, Captain Stevens.
Where am I?
You are inside the Source Code.
What is the Source Code?
It's a computer program, Captain.
Source Code enables you to cross over into another man's identity in the last 8 minutes of his life.
At 7:48 this morning, a bomb exploded on a train outside of Chicago, killing everyone on board. A man named Sean Fentress was on that train. He is now you. Think, Captain, remember back. Who bombed the train?
I don't know who bombed the train!
Then try again.
Wait, no.
So, what do you think?
It's the same train, but it's different.
Speaking of, I'd like to ask Andrew about...
You know I was going to mention it.
So yes, Andrew, I believe you had a conversation with someone close to this film about the trailer. Would you like to elaborate?
Alright, let me just give my initial reaction to the trailer and then move into that. I have to say that when I first saw this trailer, I was kind of buzzing over it. I was like, this looks kind of cool. And then I decided to watch it again and forget the fact that Duncan Jones directed it. And I realized that it looked very much like any generic thriller film that decides to toss in a science fiction element, i.e. Deja Vu. Even though it does give you a bit of a feel like it might be a bit more than that, but I think that's really just Duncan Jones' name stapled in the back of my head, going, it will be better, it will be better, it will be better. Because, I mean, this is the dude who did Moon. That, and I'm sure everyone can agree that movie is fantastic.
I wrote down Eagle Eye plus Unbreakable times The Matrix equals Source Code.
If I remember correctly, what I had written down was Deja Vu plus Groundhog Day plus 12 Monkeys.
Equals Source Code. You're right. Like if you were to take Duncan Jones' name off this, I would be writing no all over again and saying, you know, where's Matthew McConaughey taking off his shirt? But because it's him, it gets a little bit more of my attention and, you know, possibly my money. I don't know.
And the thing about it is that when I had said this on the internet, I actually tweeted it to Duncan Jones. And he replied, because he's that awesome a dude. He's replied to most of my stuff that I would say to him about his films. And wow. In his response, when I had said that, you know, if I had said, and I quote, I wonder what the response to this trailer would have been if it wasn't directed by Duncan Jones. And Duncan Jones' response was something to the effect, because I don't have my tweet deck up to look it up right now, something to the effect of, I don't know. It would have to be based on who did direct it. If it was Woody Allen, I guess the response would be surprised, which put me in stitches. Because think about the fact that if you saw this trailer and it said directed by Woody Allen.
Now, are we sure that this was the actual Duncan Jones?
No, it is Duncan Jones. It's confirmed.
It wasn't like the fake Damien, was it?
No, I'm sure. No, I know this is Duncan Jones.
You know, was it something about a soccer jersey?
No, it is.
Remember, J-H-O-U-R. Okay.
I'll wait and see, especially when this comes out. Like, if this comes out in the springtime, nothing comes out in the springtime anyway, so I'll give it a look. Who knows? Like, he might be able to bring some of his Moon sensibilities to what looks very, very
generic.
Slight. Yeah, generic, you know, and maybe it'll give it some weight, you know?
Douglas, what do you think of this trailer?
Okay. So I see your skepticism and your analysis that this looks generic, and I raise you a huge helping of I don't give a shit. Right? All they needed to say was directed by Duncan Jones. That's it. I'm done.
I actually think that's like a lame ass excuse. We use that way too much on this podcast, where we say directed by X, and we just forget about what we saw. We just said it had written it in a screenshot, directed by X, and we go insane. And I mean, everyone has their director, but I mean, honestly, when you look at his trailer, come on.
Directed.
Did he buy a house?
What?
Did he buy it? Like, has he got mortgage payments that he needs to make? Because that comes up, man. You got a Hollywood actor in a really bad movie. My thought is, they bought a house. Sean Connery and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, bought a house.
Bought a house.
And you see, the funny bit about it is that from the beginning, from we saw the trailer for Moon, and we didn't even know who the fuck Duncan Jones was, because it's his first film, we were impressed from then. It didn't look generic at all when you saw the trailer for Moon. And it went all the way up until we saw the finished product, which was intense and amazing. This trailer just reeks of normalcy.
Now, maybe he's doing a one for me, one for them kind of thing. Because, like, even Aronofsky's directing the Wolverine, right?
Ooh, yes, he is.
So maybe this is the one that Duncan Jones is doing for the studio, so that he can come back and do something else, do, like, you know, Moon 2, Dark Side of the Moon, Moonier or something, Moon 2, Electric Boogaloo, and they'll give him the money. Because he did Source Code for them.
I see that, and I know I've heard the argument, especially with George Clooney when he talks about Batman or Robin. I'm really interested in that Aronofsky bit, because I remember when it was first announced that he was doing the next Wolverine film, and everyone assumed it was Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine 2. And then he came out and he said, no, this is a standalone film. It'll still have Hugh Jackman, but it's a standalone Wolverine film, and that's when I decided to be interested in that movie.
It takes place after what we saw in Wolverine. So even if it's not a direct sequel and doesn't involve anybody else from the Origins Wolverine, it's the next one. It takes place after Origins Wolverine, but still before the first X-Men.
I don't believe that he's admitted that it's going to even pretend that the Origins film existed. Has he?
That's fine with me, man. I have no problems not pretending that film does not exist.
I believe that he wants us to all shoot ourselves in the head with amnesia bullets and then watch Wolverine.
Done.
I have a problem with that.
You don't like amnesia bullets?
No. I love amnesia bullets. Amnesia bullets work very well when you want to forget things, and oh, there are things I need to forget, Andrew. I have a problem with that second part. And watch Wolverine. No. No. No.
So that's what's on the paper there? A big fat no? Underlined, exclamation point, caps?
Not really. I couldn't even bring myself to think about writing. No.
Anyways, we were talking about Source Code. Are we done with that? Because
I think so.
My second beer is almost done.
Dude, I finished my second beer like a half an hour
ago.
And
I can feel it in my legs now.
Really?
We don't speak too much about it.
Is that really my son?
It was so not him.
The strangest thing to watch.
Will you kill me if I tell him?
No, tell him.
It was just crazy because nobody in the community even knew that George was in a film.
I was in a movie back in 1989. It's called Troll 2. And it's become known as the worst film of all time.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I left in about the middle of the movie.
It was so bad.
I maybe hoped it wouldn't be as bad as it was, but it was.
I had no idea what it all meant or what I was doing or what I was saying.
By every conceivable measure, this is a bad film.
Oh my gosh, that's the worst movie I've ever seen.
Okay, well, I guess we can move on into our feature review of the week. And this week, I thought it was best for us to talk about best worst movie. It's this documentary that people have been discussing all year, and I've been hearing about from all sorts of people.
It's Goblin spelled backwards.
about the cult following to this, the worst movie ever made, Troll 2.
The funny thing is that I watched this on HBO when I was yay tall. I was probably, I don't know, 10, 12? And I love that movie. I thought it was hilarious.
Hatter, have you managed to see Troll 2 at any point in your lifetime?
I have not, but I gotta tell you, after watching this movie, I really want to. Lady Hatter just poked her head around the corner. She goes, I'm buying it.
She's buying Troll 2 or Best Worst Movie?
Troll 2. She's gonna buy it blind, dude.
Damn right, Lady Hatter.
I'm sure you can find it for like $2 on Amazon or something.
Find it for $2 at the gas station, man.
Anyways, Best Worst Movie. What are your thoughts, Hatter?
This movie is fantastic. As I say, it takes, I say the mark of a true documentary, a successful documentary, is when it can take a subject matter that I know very little about and make me care about it and make me want to go chase it down. And I'm not even a fan of B movies and genre movies. I'm really not. I don't really subscribe to these so bad it's good, unless we're talking about like Top Gun. but yeah, this movie, I cared about everybody in it. I laughed. I was just amazed with, you know, the actors and the people who love this movie now and the director of the original movie. And as I say, I really want to go see Troll 2 now. We were talking before we came on. I'm grumpy that I missed in Toronto last month. They actually played Best Worst Movie with a double feature followed by Troll 2. and I'm sorry I missed it. No, this is a great documentary. And if you've never seen Troll 2, watch this documentary and then go see Troll 2.
I have to say, first of all, I'm with Douglas. I actually saw Troll 2 when I was really young, with Douglas. I actually forgot about this movie.
I had to remind him. Andrew was like, but no, we've never seen that movie. And then I showed him the trailer.
And then I remembered all these small things from the film, you know, like even the whole thing about them becoming trees and stuff. And it's like, I don't remember a lot of stuff about this movie, but I remember a few small bits. Like, I don't even remember that line that they keep talking about in the documentary about, piss on hospitality.
I know exactly what he's talking about. It's hilarious. You know what happens? Time stops, okay? And the grandfather talks to the son. He's like, listen, you see your family there eating? If they eat that, they will become trees. You must find a way for them not to eat it. So, as a, like, 10-year-old, the guy's like, all right, fine, I will know. Get up on top of the table, over all of this food, and pee on it. And that's why you don't piss on hospitality.
That is brilliant. And what's the deal? He says, I'm tightening my belt to suppress my appetite?
Yes! Because we're all going to have hunger pains now because you just pissed on my food. I love
that's
it.
That's genius. That is absolutely genius. There is nothing in Ben-Hur that compares to that.
Screw Ben-Hur. Troll 2 for the win. But I have to say, like, this documentary, I was watching it, and it definitely is, like, a great feat as a documentary, because it takes a perspective, a topic that people talk about a lot. You know about it, because it's all about fandom, and we all know about fandom. We're all fans of something in our life. But it takes that topic and makes it worth watching for 90 minutes or how?
Yeah, man, it was 90 minutes, 91, I think, but yeah, 90 minutes
and stuff like that. But I feel like towards the second half, especially when we're getting to talk to the original director of Troll 2, like, as much as I like to laugh at his scenes where he's taking it overly serious about his movie.
I believe him, man. I married into a bunch of Italians and I met him. I'm sure I shook hands with that guy at my wedding.
No, I'm not saying I don't believe his position on the film or anything, but I'm just like, I got the point really quickly as to his view on his movie, and I got the joke that he was continuously going like, these actors are dogs, and we were making a real film, and it turned out so well, I thought. And then you talk to the wife who wrote the film, and she's like, yeah, I knew a lot of vegetarians at the time, and I wanted to make a film which spoke to the vegetarians.
Not spoke to the vegetarians, Andrew. She wanted to get back at the vegetarians that went. That's why she made them trolls or goblins. That's what she said.
And stuff like, there's even one point where they're having a Q&A about Troll. They've had a screening of Troll 2, and the director is there, and they're having a Q&A. And one dude asks, why is it called Troll 2, but there are zero trolls in the film? And the dude is like, you're an idiot. And I'm like, I get that guy, and I know exactly where he's going, but the joke, I got it in like 5 minutes, but his joke ran for around 20 in the last half of the movie. And I just felt like it stretched a bit towards the second half of the film. I love the... What's his name? George Hardy?
Yes.
The main...
The dentist.
The dentist. I loved him. And I loved... Especially towards the end of the film, it felt like when you could see that he was getting tired of this whole ordeal of basically going through this cult promotion of the film, where he's going to find all these people where people hated the movie, they now love it, and he's enjoying it. And then he goes like, yeah, I've gone to like 15 movies at this point, and I've gone to these conventions and stuff, and yeah, this really isn't for me. You know, he talks about people who do this for their films that they've gone through, and they're real actors struggling because they had this one cult hit and nothing else, and they're just trying to live off of that role, and this guy doesn't want to do that. And I really like that they had that, because it's kind of like in Aronofsky's The Wrestler, where you see Mickey Rourke's character, who as the aged wrestler has to go to these signing shows, and you expect, like, as a huge star, the signing things to be this massive thing, but it really isn't. It's this tiny thing where these guys set up their own tables and they take their own pictures, and it's really depressing when you think about it. And that was a good point of view, but at the same time, I feel that it was stretched a bit.
Well, like, what that all reminded me of is Hardy, you know, at that point, he had stayed at the bar after Last Call. He was still at the bar after 2 a.m. What's Last Call in Jamaica? Is there Last Call?
Last Call? What's that? What? Okay. We drink till the morning rises, okay?
Well, I see. When daylight comes, you got to go home. Well, in Toronto, it's 2 a.m. And, you know, back in the days when I would go to clubs and bars more often when I was a young man and, you know, didn't understand the error of my ways, you know, once in a while, you'd stay at a place past Last Call. And you would see how depressing that place was without the booze. And that's what happens when he goes to those two extra conventions. He takes this little niche fandom thing two steps too far.
Yeah.
And he all of a sudden sees, oh, crap, this is what I've got myself into. You know, and he runs back and decides, you know, I've got a life here. I got a family here. I got a dental practice of all things. And he sees, you know, that this was all fun, and it's nice that there's people out there who appreciate this thing on a level that we didn't intend, but it's 2 a.m., I gotta go home.
I have to say about this movie, I'll tell you from the get-go, I didn't think it was a great film. I thought it was better than okay. I thought it was a fairly good film. But I could be convinced to say it was a great film, because I really, really appreciated this about it. For the first 15 minutes, I thought to myself, why are we paying so much attention to this George Hardy? I know who made this film. The guy that made this film was the child actor, and he's barely in it. And I understand why. This documentary was, in a sense, I mean, everybody loves to say this documentary is about Troll 2. And Troll 2 plays a huge role in the movie. It also is glorified, and it really is made to look wonderful and marketable, and I'm sure the producers of that film love this movie. But it was not the force behind this film, behind this documentary. this movie documented the rise and fall of George Hardy. It documented, it essentially introduced you to this person, George Hardy. It made you, it put you in his corner. From the get-go, you're like, whoa, this is a really cool dude. He was the main character. He was the protagonist in this film in my head. And you see him go from being, you know, this jack of all trades, but guy about town, this dentist who is friendly with everybody in the town, or in his hometown, including the mayor. And then he goes and he realizes that this thing that he did 20 years ago actually resonates with people and means something to people. And he's awakened, and he goes to all of these screenings, and he realizes, he sees these small screenings, that there are huge fans, and there is a lot of unbridled love for him and this film, and he feeds off of it. And you see him, he kind of becomes, it's almost like he becomes a star that once was. And he feeds off of all of that positive energy that these guys are giving him. And like you say, he goes a little bit too far. I don't know if it's him that goes a little bit too far, but the joke goes a little bit too far, where he starts to branch out, and he starts to say, okay, I'm going to go with this thing. I'm going to go with this Troll 2 thing and see where it takes me. And it takes him from the smaller screenings, where it would, even though, like, they call it a cult classic for a reason, lots of love, small group of people. So he goes from these smaller showings and these smaller events that makes him realize that there is this love, and it looks huge in not just quality but quantity. And so he goes to know the bigger things, the bigger conventions, where you see him kind of getting upset and getting fed up with what he's done, because it's not as accepted. He doesn't have all of the fans that are coming to him now at these bigger events. And you see him kind of, he starts to get a little bit snippy at people at the convention.
Starts picking on their teeth.
Exactly, you know. and so he had reached his peak, his pinnacle of I am the actor that was in the worst movie ever made. And he's now on this descending slope of, wow, I am not who I wanted to be. I am not this big star. Nobody really cares anymore. And
it was 2 a.m. The bar was exactly closing. He decided to stick around. Or if he was in Jamaica, the sun was coming up, but he was still in the bar.
Yeah. and then, like you guys say, he came to this point where he was like, you know, he kind of became this bitter child star. And then he came to a realization where he can live with what had happened. It was a great experience while it lasted. But like you say, he forged his own path already. He has his own life, and he is who he is. And he doesn't need Troll 2.
And that's the great thing about this documentary, is at the end of it all, I still really like this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, and you can't not like this guy. It is impossible not to like this guy.
Yeah. I really, that's the thing that really blew me away about this movie, that it wasn't actually until the end that I realized that this movie was not about Troll 2 at all. It was about George Hardy and his rise and fall and acceptance of what is. And that was really fantastic.
It's almost like for him, like for a second or two, that acting and Troll 2 was the girl who got away.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm throwing out metaphors like no tomorrow tonight. I don't know why. But, you know, the thing is that he ran into that girl, at the restaurant, and he got to sit down and talk to her for a few minutes. And for a while there, he was still smitten with her. But the more she talked, the more he saw that, you know what, she's not who he remembered her being, and he's okay with what he's – with who he's gone on to be, who he's gone on to be with, and what he's done with his life.
Yeah.
But then again, at the end of the documentary, the child actor, I can't remember his name right now, the guy who's filming the documentary asks him, would you do Troll 3 if the guy asked you? And his response is unequivocally yes.
Like, of course.
No question. I'd do it right now if you asked me.
Yep. You know the one little thing? I got to go back to the actual Troll 2 movie. The one little thing that actually made me howl laughing and, again, made me want to see this movie was when the mom says over her shoulder, sing that song I love. Sing that song. And what does he sing? You remember?
Row Your Boat.
Yeah, and you know why, right?
Why?
There's no license fees for that song.
Oh, okay.
You can't even sing Happy Birthday without paying license fees. Like, we were talking Easy A before. You remember in Easy A, there's that scene in the restaurant where they make up some crazy lobster birthday song?
They do that because they can't sing proper Happy Birthday.
That's right. They couldn't afford Happy Birthday, so they had to write a song. And that's the thing. Row Your Boat, there's no licensing, so that was the song she decided to get him to sing.
There are licensing fees on the Happy Birthday song?
Yes, there are. Like, it's not out of copyright yet.
If you make a movie, don't throw that in. They'll come and get you.
Who gets the licensing fee?
Somebody actually wrote that song. It's like a bunch of girls, I think, that sang it, at least.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, don't do it. No, you gotta pay.
See if y'all bitches get $1
for me. Happy birthday, people. I did not sing the song.
Our guest is not liable.
Nor is the esteemed co-host.
it's only the dude whose name is on the URL. this movie, it definitely does delve into all of those bits which make it kind of special. But at the same time, I was like, I don't want to see 3 a.m. as you were saying, Hatter.
You see, that's the thing. There was a point, right, when he started, like you said, Hatter, making fun of people's teeth, where I started to be like, but this guy, he's being such an asshole. But at the end, I don't know, it just kind of all came together, and there was like a mental, oh, that's what's going on, like a eureka type of situation, where it's like, that's what this movie was about. I didn't quite realize it. I thought it was about that troll movie. It's not really.
And that's the thing, is the movie has the intelligence to look at its watch and say, shit, it's 5 to 2. We got to go.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I totally would totally recommend this doc.
Definitely. As would I. I give this 3 thumbs up.
I give it a rental.
I give it a rent this and then Troll 2.
No, I give it a rent this and buy Troll 2.
No, I definitely, like, at this point, I want to rewatch Troll 2 to see what my childhood love really was.
You know what's funny, though? I remember that movie as being called Goblin.
Well, no, they mentioned that it was originally titled Goblin.
So no, but maybe, this, I know, but they say that if they called it Troll. Copy. But we saw it on HBO, man. HBO was supposed to have called it Troll 2, so I don't know why I knew it as Goblin. It's weird.
Gosi, I know you're very busy, but can I have your autograph?
Certainly.
You know which movie of yours I love, Mr. Lugosi? The Invisible Ray. You were great as Karloff's sidekick.
Karloff? Sidekick? Fuck you! Karloff does not deserve to smell my shit. That limey cocksucker can rot in hell for all I care.
What happened?
How dare that asshole bring up Karloff? You think it takes talent to play Frankenstein? It's all on makeup and then grunting.
Bella, I agree 100%. Now, Dracula, that's a role that requires talent.
Of course. Dracula requires presence. It's all in the eyes and the voice and the hand.
That's right. That's right. You seem a little agitated. You want to go outside and get some air?
Bullshit! I'm ready now. Roll the camera.
Anyways, I guess we can move on into our discussion, which I'm sure Douglas hasn't prepared for.
There's a discussion?
Because he probably didn't read the email properly. This week, tying into Best Worst Movie, I was thinking it'd be nice to talk about some of our favorite bad movies that we love for being bad. Hatter, you mentioned earlier that you're not the type of guy who usually watches bad movies just because they're bad. But are there any films that you can think of that you enjoyed even though you have to admit that they're hard?
Well, I'm really lucky here. People who listen to my show have heard me talk in the past about a really great group of bloggers in Toronto that have come to be really good friends of mine. And they've introduced me to so many films, including some films that are so bad they're good. And Bob, who writes a blog called Eternal Sunshine of the Logical Mind, got us together in August and showed us a film that has to be seen to be believed. This film is called – has either of you ever seen a film called Haozu or House?
I've heard of that, but okay. I have not seen it.
Same here.
This film is so epic, it is actually a Criterion DVD and Blu-ray.
I've seen the cover and I'm very curious.
Yes, okay. Now, if you're curious, here's what you need to do. You need to get the two of you and Damien together. You need to get a six-pack or a 2-4 because you will want to be inebriated when you watch this. And just marvel in its epicness. Basically, if you imagine this film, it's like every Japanese horror film you've ever seen that involves one or more girls going into certain peril, but juxtaposing that with like an episode of Scooby-Doo.
Wow.
Yeah. So basically, we got this lead girl. Her name is Gorgeous. Okay. And decides that she wants to take a summer holiday out to her aunt's house out in the country. And she decides that she can't go alone. She needs to bring her six friends with her. I'm not kidding you. Her six friends are named Kung Fu, Fantasy, Prof, Mac, Sweet, and Melody. Mac, for instance, is the cook. She's always eating mac and cheese. Melody plays piano. Kung Fu is the little action star. It's like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers go to the house. Okay? So they go out, but it's like the Mickey Mouse Club. Like they break into song. There's like moments where they're like, you know, isolation shots of them with their name underneath. And they're on the train, and you can tell what's behind them is like somebody scrolling the scenery. Like they're not actually on a train with the background moving behind them. It's somebody just pulling a painting.
Yeah.
And then they get off the train and they stand in front of the painting, and the painting is like surrounded by hills and everything like that.
Okay.
So then they go to the house, and when they go to the house is haunted. And strange things start happening to these girls one by one. And the thing is, it is so low budget. You can tell every single effect a mile away. One girl, you know, one girl gets decapitated, but her head still floats around and bites one of the other girls on the ass.
Yeah.
No, nothing. Really, this is just par for the course with you guys.
I'm just going with it. I'm waiting to get to the punchline.
Oh well, no, it's the thing is that it has to be seen to be believed. Like none of this is done with actual intent of really creeping you out or really grossing you out. This is all done just basically to make you laugh and to look at how ridiculous it is. And it is so successful at this that Criterion actually made a DVD of it.
Made a DVD on?
No, like of they included a Criterion this crappy DVD movie in the Criterion collection.
Oh, okay. I know there's a Criterion collection for this film, but for some reason when you said made a DVD on it, it sounded made a separate film about the film, kind of thing.
No, they made this one. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know. One girl gets attacked by the piano, but her fingers survive and her fingers are still playing the piano. 5 years before The Shining, there's a great big lake of blood that just, you know, takes up everybody. The one guy who goes to try and rescue them all, he decides to stop at a banana stand and he gets turned into bananas.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. He's the most, speaking of The Shining, you remember how the guy who goes to rescue the family, he gets clipped like 10 seconds after he gets there?
Yeah.
Same sort of thing. The guy, he's almost at the house. He's almost there to rescue the Mouseketeers, but he gets up, gets turned into bananas like around the corner from the house.
Okay.
It's fabulous, man. You got to see. You will laugh like no tomorrow because it is just so ridiculous. But it has to be seen to be believed.
Intense. As Douglas scrolls on his iPhone trying to do quick research so that he can say something. So we have to try and stall as long as possible.
No, you just go. It's your turn,
Andrew. I'm with you, Hatter. I generally don't look out for those bad movies that are so bad they're awesome. But every once in a while they'll drop in my lap and I'll end up watching them. First of all, before I actually say what's on my list, I have to say that I did do a couple Google searches for some people's lists to see if I could get some inspiration. And I ended up on this site, retrojunk.com.
Oh, I know that site.
And they have this list, top 10 worst, awesomely bad movies from the 80s. And I haven't seen any of these, but the titles alone just make me...
You've seen that one that has the picture on top.
Have I?
You've never seen the Krull movie?
I've never seen Krull.
Yes, you have.
If I have, I don't remember it.
Oh, man.
It's one of the... Did I watch it with you like when I was really young?
Of course you did. It actually, funnily enough, it has Hagrid in it, and it has...
Well, I'm just going to claim I don't remember it at all. I know I've heard of it, especially because I've watched Spaced like so many times, but whatever. Some titles they have in here are just hilarious to me. Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Massacre 2, there's The Stuff.
I've heard of The Stuff. I haven't seen it, but I've heard of that.
There's Raw Head Rex. And some of these titles just make me want to find these movies. And they also have a list of the top 10 awesomely bad 90s movies. And on there is a movie I've actually heard of, but I haven't tried to watch it, called The Garbage Pail Kids.
I remember those. Oh, dude, Breakin' is on this list, and Lady Hatter has that movie.
I have not seen those movies.
They have to... It's gangs that, like...
No, I know... Yeah, I know of them.
Breakdancing. It's like an entire movie of you know, the dance duel in Michael Jackson's Beat It.
Wow.
Yeah.
But anyways, on to the films that I actually remember and would like to nominate for awesomely bad movies. I definitely don't think they touch anywhere close to the Troll 2 level of horrible movies. But the movies that I could think of when I was trying to think of bad movies that I love because they're bad. The first one that comes to mind is one from my childhood that I used to watch and I liked, but I can recognize it as a horrible
Shit,
movie
you stole
right
my
now.
Movie. Damn it.
Is the 90s Captain America film. Have you seen that, Hatter?
No.
And especially with the new Chris Evans movie going to come out, in a couple years. It's so horrible. It looks ridiculously cheap. You'll see the guy just throw the shield, and then you see a shot of it. He's holding the shield and he puts it in a forward motion, and then they cut to a shot of the shield randomly anywhere in the middle of the air, and then people fall over. It's ridiculous. It's special, is all I can say. Especially when you get to seeing Red Skull in that movie. It's immense. We talked about Troll 2 when we were talking about Best Worst Movie, and in the documentary they were talking about what makes these kind of bad movies awesome. There are certain movies which know they're trying to be bad movies and winking at the camera. One of them especially, which I'm not nominating, but it does that same thing, is one of Douglas' favorite movies, Shoot 'Em Up, which knows it's a ridiculous action movie and it's bad, but it's winking at the camera. But
it's one with Monica Bellucci's in that, right?
Yes.
See, I might watch it again. It's like Christina Hendricks. I might watch it just for her.
It is a fun movie. Like, if you like Edgar Wright type of films, that's one of those kind of movies. And the honesty, the ability, the fact that these filmmakers are trying to make a good film, but they just happen to fail in every regard. And one of those movies that does that for me is Evil Dead. The original Evil Dead film. It's like, you can watch that movie as opposed to the second and the third film, and you know that Sam Raimi was trying his best to make a real horror movie, but he ended up going so over the line that it became comedy. And then he decided, alright, that's what people want, I'll make 2 and 3, and my rest of my career will be comedy horror. You know?
See, and that's the thing, is like, at least he owned that, you know, not like the Troll 2 guy who's trying to say, I don't know why they're laughing, that wasn't one of the funny moments. You know, Raimi gets it. He gets, okay, you know, I've gone too far, but what the heck, let's run with this.
Yeah, and that's why we respect Raimi, and we've never heard of this guy who directed Troll 2, because I don't know about you, but I've never heard that dude's name before, have you?
No. Did you see Drag Me to Hell?
Yes, I did. I owned that on Blu-ray. I love that movie.
That's fabulous. I love that movie.
It was one of my favorite theatrical experiences of that year.
I you know what? I bought that one blind. I don't often buy DVDs that I haven't seen once already. But that one, I'm just going to dice it. I've heard a lot of good people say good things. I'm just going to buy it, and I loved it.
All right, two more movies I want to mention before I throw it over to Douglas, because I know that he's ready to with his list, of course, because he's, as I see him, staring at his iPhone intently. one is another film from my childhood, which Douglas and I watched repeatedly, and it's very questionable, to say the least. There are so many bad things about this movie, inclusive of the fact that the huge plot point is that they have this device which allows them to go through parallel universes, and then a teenager can whistle to do the exact same thing as this science fiction style device. And this movie is Masters of the Universe, which stars Dolph Lundgren as He-Man and Frank Langella as Skeletor. It is, and also the principal from the Back to the Future series is in the movie.
And Bruno something, I think, is his name.
Courtney Cox from Friends in it. Yes. And I was watching this movie on TV recently, and it is hilarious. There are moments. Have you ever seen this movie, Hannah?
Oh, long, long ago, man. I grew up, like, my parents spent way too much money on the Masters of the Universe toys when I was a kid. I did the math a few years ago. I was like, man, I got a lot of those. And so I'm sure I wanted to see that movie. So I'm happy to declare that that is deep in the recesses of my young mind, and I don't remember it very well. I can only imagine how bad it is.
No. But this is, I mean, I think nostalgia is throwing its foggy glasses in front of my face, but even now when I see it, and yes, every once in a while I will turn it to Starz or HBO or something like that, and Masters of the Universe will be on. I will sit down glued to the television until that movie ends.
Dude, the moment they enter our universe, the guy is amazed by the fact that there's KFC.
No. The best part was that they move through universes by music. And when one of the humans whistled, he's like, but you just pulled that harmonic out of the air. How did you
do that? That's what I was saying. Like a teenager whistling defeats scientific technology from another universe. It's intense. It's crazy how these people can think that this would be awesome. And in fact, you have Dolph Lundgren as He-Man with his crazy ass, like, trying to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, can't deliver a line acting. It's crazy. And I mean, it also helped that late, like, as I was rewatching this film on TV recently, when I realized that Skeletor was the dude who played Nixon in Frost Nixon recently, that kind of helped.
He bought a house. I swear, every time you see somebody respectable in something so very not respectable, they bought a house.
I guess so. But the last movie that I'm going to have to mention is one that my missing co-host made me watch for this podcast.
Trace Busta Busta?
Not Trace Busta Busta. I'm leaving that one to you because I know that's on your list. He just couldn't believe that I had made it this long through life without seeing this film, or just didn't remember it, whichever one. And it's one of those movies which, as we mentioned when we talked about it on the podcast, was in the 90s when they were trying to make every kind of extreme game into a movie, into a sports film. It's Airborne.
I love that movie.
Hold on. We have a foreign correspondent
I'm
here.
I'm sorry to interrupt your podcast, but that's the best movie ever. And I have it. I just bought it on DVD.
I respect your taste in movies.
I have to say that this is the best part of the podcast because I've said something so crazy that it's forced Lady Hatter to grab the microphone.
It's the greatest bad movie ever.
I have a
thing about rollerblading or dirt bike. Like, do you remember like Rad and Thrashin' and what's the other one?
What are you asking me?
I know. I have a series of bad movies from the early 90s that all involve even skateboarding or rollerblading or dirt biking. I love them. They're just amazing.
Wow. But I mean, you're talking about a film in which the main character is this surfer dude who comes into like Midwest America,
bra.
And all he says is bra, like you're saying, and then there's even this one scene which I just can't get out of my head.
The shark spoke Spanish,
and I just knew it. I could speak it.
that's exactly where I was going. When he had this dream about this wave, and then this, as you said,
he's imagining the wave, and he's like faux surfing in it.
Yeah,
beautiful. I have to ask because I kind of interrupted and I don't actually even know what you guys are talking about. Are you talking about this because you like it or you hate it?
Well, listen, I love it. I don't know what the hell.
Okay, all right, just making sure that I didn't come in and go like, that's the best movie ever. And you guys were like, oh my God, you should see this piece of shit. Like,
we're talking about bad movies that we love. Awesome, okay. Bad movies.
All right, just saying, sorry to interrupt. I just was like, I heard Airborne and I was like, what? I thought I was the only person. Did you know that that's Jack Black's debut film?
Are you sure? Was Neverending Story not before this one?
Jack Black is not in Neverending Story.
Yeah, he is. He's not in the first one. He's in, like, the second one or something like that.
Is he really? He's a bully?
Yeah.
Oh,
my God. He's also in an episode of Northern Exposure, which I think is before this, but that's not a film.
Do I need to be here?
Sorry, I'm leaving. Okay, sorry, guys.
Hold on. Just to say, confirmation, Lady Hatter is correct. Awesome. Airborne is the first film he was in.
Yeah.
I bow to your film acumen.
Oh, yeah. Shit, he was in Demolition Man, which I did not think of for this
When
list.
Was he in that?
He is, as quoted on IMDb, wasteland scrap.
Hard.
I walked in here like a few minutes ago and I mouthed to Hatter. I was like, are you guys talking about bad movies without me? I have like 200 of them right behind him right now. Some of the ones that you would never even probably have heard of. Like, have you seen Camp Cucamonga?
I have. That's with Shida, right? Not Shida.
It's with Urkel, Jaleel White.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Chad Allen. Right. Candace Cameron.
Oh, every crappy late 80s and 90s TV star is in this movie.
No, yes, I don't think I know that one.
Okay, so Lady Hatter, since we've gotten your attention, what do you recommend to us for awesomely bad movies that you're sure we probably haven't seen?
Okay, you must have seen Over the Top.
I do not know that name.
Oh no!
Okay, I only have two things to say to you. Sylvester Stallone and arm wrestling.
Oh, I've seen pieces of that movie.
Of course you've seen it. You must have seen it. It's terrible. It's,
yeah.
When to see it. The thing is, because, you know, he's kind of a nice guy. He's, you know, when Sylvester Stallone is more soft-spoken? You know, he can be the tough guy, but he can be that soft-spoken kind of nice guy. He's the nice guy until he turns his baseball cap backwards. And that's when he's ready. That's when he becomes like a truck in the movie. He says, that's when I'm a truck. And then he does the arm wrestling and he kicks ass. It's amazing.
So is
you
it
should
just
also
arm
see,
wrestling?
What is the Christian Slater one that I'm just blanking on all of a sudden?
Oh, that is that the other
Flaming the Cube? Oh my god! Do you know that one?
Yeah, it has. It also has. I thought was funny. Manny from Scarface as the detective.
Yes, yes. Now, if anyone doesn't know the plot,
I'm gonna go get another beer.
If anyone doesn't know the plot of this movie, Christian Slater's adopted brother gets murdered by the Korean mafia, and he has to avenge his death through skateboarding.
Yes, I remember.
It's so brilliant. It's so bad, but it's so brilliant.
I'm so sad that Damian's missing out on this episode right now.
I'm so sad that I'm missing out on this episode at this point.
Oh, be quiet, Hatter. We're busy listening to the more interesting half of this conversation.
Yeah, thanks for that.
And I should just read you the cast list for one more movie. Have you heard of Dance Till Dawn?
Dance? I don't know that one.
Okay, this was made, I'm just going to say early 90s. So what they used to do is that they would make these made-for-TV movies, and they would take all the stars of the current sitcoms, of American sitcoms, and put them all in these one movies. So here you got the movie. The grown-ups are Kelsey Grammer, Alan Thicke, and the woman who's the receptionist in Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah.
She plays Kelsey Grammer's wife. So that's the grown-ups. The kids, you've got Christina Applegate, while she was fresh on
Married
with Children at the time. Alyssa Milano. Who else do you got here? Tracy, the one who was the girl on... Wait, Alyssa Milano, Kelsey... Tracy Gold.
I'm actually looking at the IMDb for this film right now, and I'm seeing Matthew Perry as well.
Oh, Matthew Perry. This was Matthew Perry back when he did... Oh, here's another one. A Night in the Life of Jimmy Reardon, starring River Phoenix and Matthew Perry. No, nobody? Seriously? It's all about River Phoenix trying to get laid, and Matthew Perry's his, like, loser friend.
Hey, if Matthew Perry's in a movie, I'm not watching it.
We own them all, boys.
I have them. I own them all. These are my collection.
People ask me why the DVDs are separated into her shelf and my shelf. You're learning why right now. When I say she has crap, I am not kidding.
And I know I'm amongst boys here, so I'm sure that nobody here has the love I do for Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
I know that as a song, not a movie. Sorry.
Helen Hunt is the sidekick to...
Sarah Jessica
Parker, and it's pure late 80s dance competition movie. She's like the good schoolgirl who gets paired up with like kind of like the James Dean tough guy, and they have to do battle in this dance competition, and there's like the evil girl who wants the spot on the dance TV show. It was basically like they're all trying to, you know, remember Solid Gold? The TV series?
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Oh, never mind. I might be into a level of crap that... this is girl crap. I'm talking about girl crap, though.
No,
this
go
is,
ahead, man. Go ahead, boys, now.
You probably know Rad more than you know the other... You know, Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
I do Rad? Not know that movie.
Rad?
Rad. What's Rad? Maybe I know it, but I don't know the name.
There was a dirt bike competition. They had to, like, win the town or something.
Is the Korean mafia in that one, too?
No, but Talia Shire plays the mother.
Oh, my God. Is Jesus in that?
Oh, and Playing for Keeps might be the best bad movie. There's a dream sequence in it that words don't even describe. It's a bunch of teenagers who buy an old hotel in this sleepy town, and they basically want to turn it into a party town, but the whole town's against them because they want to keep the town, like, clean and proper. So there's this one sequence where all the teenagers are imagining, like, they have this dream sequence. What would this hotel be like? So you got the one guy who's a bodybuilder, and he's, like, imagining the gym that he would open in this hotel. So there's this, like, it's all foggy, you know, like, you're looking out through the smoke, and there's all the slow motion girls in spandex and muscle guys to music doing this workout, and it has no place in, it's not a musical, but there's just, it's just, I can't even tell you how wonderful it is.
This is stuff that makes Footloose look like Gone with the Wind.
Oh, I'm sorry, Footloose is not.
No, but that's what I'm saying, like the stuff you're describing makes something like that look just absolutely flawless.
Footloose is not in my bad movie category.
No, I know.
Footloose is a good movie. What are you talking about? Why would you even bring that up as a comparison? On.
This is going to be your best episode ever, isn't it?
Oh my goodness. Footloose is awesome, by the way.
Shut up.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Lady Hatter. First of all, I'm
glancing at my DVD collection, I am, without any irony here, I am a lover of the Popeye movie with Robin Williams.
I love that movie so much.
Sorry?
I love that movie so much.
Because it's awesome.
It is
Like, oh, the song I Mean, when he's like, I mean, you know what I mean. And then, like, he's mean. I just sang. I was so lame.
No. I love when, I can't remember this character's name. The one who loves the burgers all the while.
Wimpy.
Yeah?
Wimpy.
Sorry. He takes Sweet Pea and takes her to the fake track, which is of these little horses, like it's at a road show or something.
It's like if you went to a fair and you know, like you'd squirt water on them.
Right.
That's when
ones.
He takes her to the track and it's this big deal. Like he took her to the track. Took her to the
fake track.
To the
right. Now, speaking of buying a house, do you remember who directed that movie?
I'm blanking on the name right now, but I know it. Holy shit.
Robert Altman.
Really?
You know, you line up Robert Altman's movies, this one sticks out like a sore thumb.
No, this is one I'm defending. This one I'm defending. It's not one I'm saying I like.
You put this next to MASH and Nashville.
Oh, well,
and,
come on. That's apples and oranges. You can't do that.
That's what I'm saying. He bought a house. He bought some oranges.
Okay, all I'm saying is for a movie about Popeye, it's really well done. It's a brilliant movie.
And it paid beautifully.
When we watched Punch Drunk Love, the best thing about that movie was that they used the soundtrack to the Popeye movie in it. That made the whole tone of the movie.
And it made his lovely
The best
garage.
Thing about that movie was the movie. That movie was awesome.
But you know
what's
the best
Love.
Part about that movie?
What?
Mattress Man.
Yes, I love him in that movie. But no, I have a huge question to ask you guys. Now, I have been searching high and low for this movie that...
So no more iPhone usage at this point?
Not at this point. I have a small list of movies that I want to talk about, but there is one that I recently came across, maybe a couple of years ago. It's an 80s, maybe 70s Australian movie about this teenage girl who... she's a singer, and she lives with her like little cousin or something in a diner, in the back of a diner that her mama or her aunt owns, and she does all sorts of foolishness and becomes half famous because she walks a high wire outside her house and
well,
falls
this
off.
Familiar to me now.
What did you
way,
know?
By
that?
The way, before you get to your point,
I'd
like you to thank Lady Hatter for stalling all of the
damn
time
right. But it didn't matter because I still haven't found the name of the bloody movie yet. I'm begging you. Do you know this movie?
That sounds like the best movie ever.
It's so awesome, and in the end, there's a climax where I think there was some sort of competition that she lost because she got friendly with this big guy in the industry who decided to be mean to her, and then they crashed the concert and she actually sang what she was supposed to sing with her band or something. I can't remember what it's called, but
oh my
it's
God.
So wonderful. No, I think I remember Starshine or Stardust or Star Glitter or something like that. I can't remember.
Oh my God, she did not wear a lot of makeup, right? Like sparkly makeup on her face?
Yeah. Yeah, she
did. I have been trying to figure out what that movie is for like 20 years. I don't know what that movie is, but I remember seeing it, and I remember when I was young, I wanted to look like her because she had all this sparkly, colorful makeup on.
Yeah, yeah. And she was lots of makeup, lots of redheadedness, and yes,
wow.
Lots of 80s wonderfulness. I love 80s movies. Did
I know
tell
you
that?
Do.
Okay.
I know you do. Just like how I tell you all the time that I love musicals. And you guys go like, why?
But yes, that is number one on my list. Right there. I don't know
Can
why.
Because Hatter doesn't like a certain movie, and I now that I'm amongst boys, I think this is just a shame that he does not love this movie because it's so awesomely crap. I just, best of the best.
Oh, but come on, Hatter. Seriously?
Seriously, seriously.
Come on. How can you not like Chris Penn?
I wanted to watch it with you, and you said, I'm not watching that crap. You didn't even watch it with me. It had James Earl Jones in it. Training, but like, oh, you just
I know
just,
that movie.
Well, it's the martial arts one, right?
The martial arts one. It's the martial arts.
I don't know.
One.
Well, you just talked about one where he avenges his brother through skateboarding.
Well, there is an avenging of brothers because Chris Penn dies in this film.
That's so sad.
You know what I've noticed now?
I think it actually beats Bloodsport.
You know what
Easy
I've noticed
now.
Tonight?
tonight, I've noticed that the next time around, I'm just going to invite Lady Hatter.
She won't make you wait three different times, I guarantee you.
When sometimes you guys will say something and I'm like, what, that sounds cool, and then he sees me coming and he shoos me out of the room. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say.
You have no idea how far she ran to be a part of this.
Glancing over my shoulder, I saw another title. Do either of you guys know Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead?
I was about to talk about that one. I love that movie. Christina Applegate at her best.
It is her best. It's amazing.
That one I've seen, at least.
There's a fashion show at the end that's so 80s.
With the clown dog truck that comes in.
Oh, I know that movie well.
We went to watch that movie at the drive-in. Yes.
Did we? Holy shit.
Wow. That's how awesome that movie is.
Mm-hmm. When there was still a drive in Jamaica.
Yeah. But I want to quickly go through a couple other on my list.
Let's see what you can bring up.
A really, really wonderful one that, I mean, it has so many awesome people. It has RoboCop. It has, I can't remember his name. Dexter's Last Rival. The Adventures, of Buckaroo Banzai. I love that movie.
I saw this on TV I want
to see that one. I haven't seen that one, but I actually really want to.
Yeah, yeah. Goldblum is in it too, actually. It's like, it's massive.
I saw the ending scene, and it was... It looks like only they could make that movie.
Only people in the 80s. There's Howard the Duck. I love Howard the Duck.
Love it.
I actually want to rewatch that movie to see if it's actually one of the awesomely bad movies.
It was on TV the other day, and I saw this scene where Rooney from Ferris Bueller was beaten up and cosmically kicking ass in this diner with Howard the Duck running and trying to keep whatchamacallit away from him, some device. I can't remember what it's called. But that was an awesome movie. I have fond childhood memories of that one. But also Big Trouble in Little China is wonderful. But of course, that's, you know, one of the big ones. And his Army of Darkness. But the one... I have one that is not from the 80s or early 90s. This one is a little movie called Phone Booth.
Love that movie!
That movie was horrid. And don't you try
National Film Festival, dude. The day after I met Lady Hatter, I saw Phone Booth at the Toronto International Film Festival.
That must have been a bad day.
Brilliant. Joel Schumacher was there and everything.
But I don't know. I really did hate this movie, but I loved watching this movie because the first time I watched it, probably the only time I've watched it, I made fun of it so hard with one of my friends in college, and it was a blast. So, yes, this is my only...
Katie Holmes, Forrest Whitaker, Jack Bauer is the guy who's got the gun on him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that movie's just shit.
That's great. See, now that's my kind of crap. Now you're in my wheelhouse. You know, I'm the kind of guy who bought the Criterion edition of The Rock.
Awesome. I love that movie. Love that movie to death. That and Face Off are my go-to movies from upper high school.
I'm sorry. The Rock is the greatest action movie ever made.
Now, if you're gonna watch Face Off and The Rock, you got to complete the trilogy and watch Con Air as well.
No. I agree with you that it is a part of the trilogy. I can't even get to the point where it's so bad that it's good. It's just bad. I'm sorry. I don't like that movie.
It's awesome.
That accent Nick Cage puts on, from that to the long hair to John Malkovich taking over the plane to
John Cusack.
Even when you see John Cusack, I forgot about that. He's awesome. To when you see Dave Chappelle falling out of that movie's amazing. Hatter, I forgot about that one. That deserves to be on the awesomely bad movie list.
Bad Bruckheimer in the 90s, that is my crap.
I love Bad Boys. Am I the only one here that...
I think so.
Okay.
I remember liking number one, but two is shite.
Oh, of course. Two is just beyond control, but one, fantastic.
I would have to go back to officially put the stamp on it as to whether it's good or bad, but I'm going to say I remember liking it.
Okay.
Crimson Tide, what about that one?
I've seen it, but I don't remember it.
Denzel? You don't remember the Denzel doing...
It's
you
the
know,
submarine one.
Going toe-to-toe with Lex Luthor on a sub?
I know what movie it is, but I
with
just...
the fate of the world, you know, as to whether or not they're allowed to launch the nuke?
I just can't remember watching it, you know?
Oh, Tony Soprano is one of the soldiers?
No, I know what you're talking about, and I definitely have it on my rewatch list, and I know I've seen it, but I just don't remember anything to comment.
Oh, that's great. And then they get into this whole metaphoric conversation about these horses that are, you know, that are like bright white, but when they're born they're black, you know. It's supposed to be a metaphor. Oh yeah, no, this is great.
Wow, metaphor. Okay. For racism.
Right. Viggo Mortensen is in that movie, holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, he is.
Wow. Oh, we've gone on
Where the Day Takes You.
What, huh?
I was just wondering if Viggo Mortensen is in Where the Day Takes You, which is another pure crap dark movie that I love.
Where the Day Takes You. Which one is that?
That is...
Buck says it's from the 80s.
It might be early 90s. A bunch of kind of runaways all living on the street. Their kind of leader is Dermot Mulroney. Ricky Lake was in it. Balthazar Getty. It was kind of a sad one, but it's really bad, and I love it. I have a feeling he might have been in it. Someone's in it who kind of had that twangy accent of his. But I could just be being racist and saying all guys with that twangy accent are the same. Alyssa Milano I see in here.
Adam Baldwin, speaking of Firefly, was in that movie. Alyssa Milano.
Nancy McKeon.
Lara Flynn Boyle. Will Smith. Sean Astin. This is like, look, there's a lot of names in this crappy movie, man.
Oh, Will Smith played a guy in a wheelchair, and there's a scene where he gets like, you know, beaten up, and then it's so sad because he's like, his wheelchair is toppled over on the side, and he's like screaming on the street going like, come back, and nobody comes to get him, and then I don't even think you ever see him again in the movie. It's
I
want to
see this
sad.
Now.
I'm gonna like the way she's describing it, I'm gonna take a Patter's excuse and say they all bought a house.
By the way, here's the thing, right? I want to put forward this film as a bad, good movie. But for me personally, it's just a great film. I mean, it's not even a question of it surpassing the bad.
No, you can't nominate Jennifer's Body.
No, it's just really... No, I think this movie is really good, and a lot of people hate it, and they just don't understand. The Adventures of Baron Munchausen?
I have that.
We have that.
I love that movie
too, but would you consider it a bad movie that is so bad that it's good, or just a good movie?
It's the far end of the Gilliamometer. It is the furthest extreme you can go.
I think it's just a strange movie, but I don't necessarily think that... I know people don't like it, but strange doesn't necessarily have to put in the bad category.
Certainly not on your side.
No, I have one film that I love above all.
What's that?
That it's K. I don't even want to say that it's so bad it's good. It probably is.
Buckle up, boys.
But I think it's just I can watch it every night and never get sick of it. And I've probably watched it over 300 times at this point. Back to the Beach.
Oh no.
The 80s comeback of Annette, Frankie and Annette, when they go back to the beach and Pee-wee Herman flies away on a surfboard after they just all did the bird.
I don't know.
No?
Crickets. I could hear Jamaican crickets on that
one. We are searching IMDb far and wide
David
for this film.
No, that's David Bowie, not Bowie.
Here's the thing. Lady Hatter and I have an agreement. If we sit down to tell the other one, you're going to love this movie, just watch it. We have a rule where it's a 45-minute veto. So if somebody's watching it and they can't get through it, at 45 minutes they can say, screw it, I'm out. And that movie, she sat me down to watch, and I started counting after about 20 minutes.
Chase, you didn't even make it through. You didn't even make it to your whole 45 minutes on Newsy. So screw
no, it. I made it to 45.
No, you did not.
Yes,
you
I
failed.
Did.
And that's a good movie.
Back to the Beach, the legendary, you know, movie icon, Buster Keaton. This is his last part.
Okay.
He's in this movie,
that's a little
fully
bad.
In the suit.
No, he's not.
How old is Buster Keaton when he did this film?
Because, I mean, I watched The General, and that was, what, the 20s? So how...
Oh, yeah, although he's old as time.
But then, no. He was in, like, I think it was Beach Blanket Bingo or something.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
Went back to the beach, it's like 20 years after the original Beach movies, which took place in the 60s.
Sorry, guys.
So at this point, like, aren't we just going to bring up Sweet Valley High?
You know what? Fuck Sweet Valley High. I know exactly what movie I love that's so bad that's
TV
good.
Movies?
Revenge of the Nerds.
Awesome. I just watched that like 2 weeks ago.
Those movies are awesome.
Yeah.
do you guys remember one with Val Kilmer called Real Genius?
Yes, that movie's amazing. Amazing. Okay,
I'm kind of a movie snob when it comes to bad movies. That is,
he has an 80s movie galore.
That like has a special place in his heart.
No, the other one, Empire Records. I know that one's horrible.
Not bad. No, it's not.
I don't think that's a bad movie.
No, it's bad, guys. Have you watched it?
I don't like that movie, but I don't think that's bad enough to be a good movie.
No, it's not. It does not deserve... Look at my shelf. That does not deserve to be anywhere in category with a lot of these bad
movies. And yet it is on your shelf. I mean...
No, it is, but I mean, I haven't separated the really, truly bad from just, like, the kind of crappy, okay. But...
All right, well, I guess we've kind of beat this one to death, so...
I think so.
Sorry, I took over.
So I want to go around the table and see if we can get one more out of everyone.
Wow.
Just like your ultimate movie at this point, if you haven't mentioned it. Lady Hatter.
You have it first, so they come back to me.
Hatter?
Oh, I know which one. No, never mind.
Okay,
I'm not even going to say... I don't know. I don't understand why, because I'm far too old for this movie to have... for me to be... And it's a very recent movie. So this is why it's sad. But I freaking love Sydney White.
What's that?
Oh, boy.
It's the crappy Amanda Bynes movie from a few years ago. I mean, it's Amanda Bynes. Do I need to say more?
Where no, I don't
it's
think
supposed
so.
To be like seven Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. So she goes to college and she meets these like seven dorks. So, you know, she's got her seven dorks, not dwarves. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
I love it. I don't know why. I put it on all the time. I can't stop watching it.
I'm looking at the DVD cover on IMDb, and I already just never want to look at it again.
Yeah. Remember that little cute little girl from All That? Oh my goodness.
Before she retired.
So, Rags to Riches, which nobody here has seen, I'm positive. It was a made-for-TV movie in the early 80s, and it was a bunch of... A group of, I think it was six or seven orphans from, like, a girl's orphanage, and they didn't want to get separated, so they found, like, a millionaire to adopt all of them together. But it was a musical, so they break out into, like, you know, Mr. Postman or Tutti Frutti for no reason and all these musical numbers. And then it ended up getting a TV series for a whole season, which I'm trying to track down.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody has seen that? Nobody?
No, I don't think so. A couple of... movies are coming to my head. I want to mention Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. That movie is bad.
It had the tone of most
it's
of those
bad,
80s movies which you love, but
I
wouldn't
love
call it
movie.
A bad movie.
Also, there's a movie that I used to love watching, and I'm sure if I watch it now, I'll hate it, called The Purple... Something Purple People Eater. I can't remember what it is, but I thought that was fantastic. However, my... ultimate movie, at least for today, probably because I was reminded of it earlier and I was tweeting about it earlier, is Cool Runnings.
Nice. Love it.
I thought we decided
you did?
To never
come on.
Talk about it.
Kiss me egg.
I'm about to draw a line down the middle of your head so it looks like a butt.
No, I thought it would be... Hatter loves this movie. And I thought it would be really sweet if I got that for him. I put it in his stocking last Christmas. Do you know where that movie is right now?
Where?
It's the donate pile.
Oh, no.
Not even opened. It's still saran wrapped.
I think I'm going to take it from you and move it to my shelf.
It would be
it.
Very much at home there.
It would.
Oh, my goodness. Cool Runnings, Douglas. Did you have to go there?
Yes, I did.
Little bastard. Hatter, what you got up your sleeve?
I'm a baseball twit, so Major League...
That's not a bad movie.
I wouldn't say that's bad, though, but yeah.
With Wesley Snipes as Willie Mays Hayes. You gotta remember, Charlie Sheen and Tom Berenger, this was the first movie they did together after Platoon. Academy Award winner for Best Picture, Platoon. They go on to Major League.
Oh, I think it's just a good movie.
It's terrible. So that's one of mine. I come back to it all the time. I know people think it's awesome. It's really not. Top Gun. Oh, and then, you know, like, basically, pick any 80s movie where Tom Cruise is a hot shot. Cocktail, Days of Thunder, any of those? Love them.
Oh, Cocktail, the movie where he goes to Jamaica.
That was actually filmed in Jamaica. Mm-hmm.
It's almost as good as that Robin Hood movie, Robin Williams movie. What was it? Club Paradise?
Oh, yeah. That was horrible.
Club Paradise. I'm trying to think of movies to top my ultimate film, which I already mentioned, Airborne. And for some reason, I just immediately jumped to the 90s teenage Andrew, where I sit down and I watch movies like Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter.
Oh, boy. What about Don Juan DeMarco?
What, with Johnny Depp?
Yeah, Johnny Depp, Marlon Brando, Faye Dunaway. No,
I don't remember that too well. The only thing I can remember is in the beginning, Johnny Depp is like on a roof of some sort, about to, it looks like, kill himself, and Marlon Brando is trying to talk him off.
Yeah, and then he takes him into therapy, and Johnny Depp thinks he's Don Juan.
Yeah, yeah.
I will admit to not watching that film.
I own that film too.
Can I ask, is anyone here familiar with Solar Babies?
Probably not.
I'm not sure. Nobody? I don't think so.
Solar Babies, late 80s, Lucas has. They find there's like the world is in a drought, so there's the water's all rationed, and they find this like glowing orb, and it makes, I don't even know how to explain the plot, but I believe there was roller skating involved.
Of course, sir.
I don't quite know why.
I believe Lady Hatter enjoys roller skating movies.
You have no idea, man. And she can't roller skate with a lick.
I would never roller skate.
However...
You clearly already talked about The Wizard, because that couldn't have been skipped.
That's not mine. Maybe that's not yours. Do you remember The Wizard?
With
Fred Savage?
Yeah!
It's an 80-minute Nintendo commercial.
I haven't seen that movie in so long, I've forgotten essentially everything, other than Nintendo.
I dare you to watch that again.
No. He's saying it, and I dare you to watch it, because you'll be miserable, but I'm going to put out there... I encourage you to watch it again because I think it's going to blow your mind.
I'm certain it will.
Warned. Good things are not coming your way.
Oh, yes, they are.
So I just mentioned Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, but I'm going to beat that. There is a certain 90s film which I remember coming out when I was young, and I watched it the moment it came on television because my parents were not going to take me to this movie. And it starred one... basketball sensation, Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh no.
And it is the film Steel.
Oh.
But how is that so bad that it's good?
Have you watched that movie recently?
Yes.
Really? Shaq trying to pretend that he's a Superman.
That movie's hilarious, Douglas. Like, some of those one-liners, like when he's like making his helmet and stuff, it is worthy of a Razzie. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it probably got it. I'm too lazy to search it, though.
Probably. That's a bad one, man.
I even remember, like, watching the film and seeing... like, there was this one bit where he was trying to get away from the police or something. And there was this guy who was... No, it was a woman who was in the wheelchair... who knew how to hack into computers and stuff, and she was able to hack into the traffic system so that he would get all greens and then they would immediately switch to red so the police wouldn't...
Is this the Italian Job?
Well, it definitely does sound like the Italian Job, because they have a scene exactly like that, but the way that it's done in that, it's almost as bad as the tech shown in Swordfish.
Wow.
But do you get to see Halle Berry's boobs?
But you see, that's what makes a Swordfish not an awesomely bad movie, but an awesome movie.
Oh, of course.
Of course. But anyways,
I think we've definitely beaten this one to death.
And well, I think
even
so.
We've even gone like over 2 hours at this point, so I want to wrap this up right now. This is the Unnamed Movie Podcast. I want to thank my guests, and actually guests, because, you know, Lady Hatter jumped on because we were talking about a topic she's so, you know, passionate about, horrible movies. I'm so happy that you expose Hatter to these kinds of films, because I know
don't do that. Don't do that. I was so happy.
You know, while we talked about it, I have pulled the DVD. It is sitting in front of him, and that is the next in queue for the next movie we watch together. And that he watches it, I want him to write something about it on his site.
Okay.
You can edit.
So Hatter, where can the people on the internet find you?
You can find my podcast, The Matinee Cast, on iTunes, Blueberry, and mypodcast.com. Or if you prefer to read and not listen, Lord knows I get sick of the sound of my own voice, you can go to the Dark of the Matinee, which is at McNeilMatinee.blogspot.com.
Douglas, where can they find you?
Where can they find me? Nowhere.
I know that.
I am on Twitter. My name is DJR Lost His Name. You can see my once every 2 year post on gmanreviews.com.
Definitely every 2 years.
Every 2 years. You can see what will hopefully become a real site in the next 2 months, decaffeinationreport.com. And maybe one day I'll get to mashbits.com. I've got both of those, so we'll see.
As usual, you can find the podcast on iTunes and the Podcast Alley, as well as on my website, gmanreviews.com, where I post lots of ramblings all the while. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm gmanreviews. And you can find me in the Jamaican Gleaner on a Saturday. So
that's JamaicaGleaner.com, by the way.
JamaicaGleaner.com if you're using the internet. However, you know, I like the idea that I'm in print.
Yeah, but you don't get that if you're not in, if you're not one of the few people.
Every time I go to the store, it's sold out, man.
Yeah, you know.
I like to think that that's my fault. Anyways, thanks for listening, and as always, tune in next week.
And the week after that.
If we're still here, that is. Alright, good night, and thanks everyone for listening. Thank you again, Lady Hatter and Hatter, for joining me. Good night.